Okay, I got to push the button in order to make it work. Okay, I've got it. I've got everything under control today. Hi, my name is Dr. Roy Morgan. Welcome to Health Essentials. This week I had a lady come and visit me, and I find her story very intriguing. She has a, of course, you know, I'm not going to mention anybody's name. Number one, I don't want them to feel like I'm attracting unnecessary attention to them or talking about their case too much, but she does have a point that I find very interesting. Number one, for years she's been bedfast, dealing with just a horrific, painful condition called interstitial cystitis. And she has been to so many doctors. She has been to the top experts. And I think the very last doctor that she had gone to, the basic recommendation was they were going to try to use, I can't remember what she said now, forgive me, but they were essentially going to try to grow a brand new bladder for her. They were going to grow a bladder using stem cells, and then they wanted to do a bladder transplant because she has this terrific, unyielding pain in her bladder and probably also the female reproductive area. I mean, does that just strike you as, you just scratch your head and wonder, how many drugs can they try before you take a step back and you try a different tact? Anyway, so you know me, I'm completely biased on every level. When I say I'm biased, yes, I am very biased against drugs that completely destroy and harm a human being and that are destined to fail. Not all drugs, but when you try drugs for 10 years and you're not any better off than what you were before, don't you think it's reasonable just to take a step back and say, okay, what am I doing here? Can we have a different conversation? And I think it's okay to ask questions. Why do I have this in the first place? And so my contention to her is that she had a problem with processing what's called calcium oxalate or oxalate crystals. And so one of the very simple remedies was just to, or plans of action, was to avoid foods that are very high in oxalate. Because in some people, when oxalate, these natural occurring crystals that might be found in, for example, spinach, when they build up in the body under a microscope, they look identical to a razor blade. I'm not making that up. So when you look at these a photomicrograph of an oxalate crystal, it looks identical to a razor. Now you tell me, what would it feel like if you had razors build up in your bladder? Or if you had razors build up in your joints, like your feet or your ankles or your knees? Well, it would be continual pain that just never goes away and never resolves itself. And so she started the process of coming off the oxalate, high oxalate foods, and there was almost an immediate change. Now, she would tell me that if she had one good day a month, meaning she felt reasonably good, that she would just jump all over that and take advantage of it and get up and go and do stuff. And she loves to work in the flower beds outside. I don't know what her backyard looks like, but she was telling me that she redid all the potted plants and she worked on the flower beds. But something else she told me that was interesting, or at least I thought it was. She said that she has this raised bed that's devoted to asparagus. And you've heard me talk about asparagus before, especially when people have cancer, that either drinking asparagus water or eating asparagus is very, very good. Now, in her situation, I asked her, I said, what are you having for lunch? And she said, well, in a blender, I don't know, maybe it's a Vitamixer, maybe it's a blender, she will pour coconut milk. I'm going, okay, coconut milk. And in the solution of coconut milk, she will add her frozen dark cherries, which I want you to consider that frozen dark cherries may contain these incredible polyphenolic compounds that are like nutrients to the body. And I think cherries are very good for the kidneys. And so when someone has horrific pain, I always train myself to check a person's kidneys. I might like look for fluid in the legs or for tender spots along the legs or sore places on the feet, or if it's tender when you press over the flank area of the lower back where the kidneys are. Anyway, there's just lots of clues. And so if you ask a person, is there one time of the day that your energy just takes a huge dip? If they say around 4 o'clock, well, Roy starts thinking that maybe this is one more clue that the kidneys are not functioning as well as they should. So if a person has pain, you have to think maybe the kidneys are not removing all this crystallized debris that's settling into the muscles or the joints, and so every time they bend and move, there's pain or there's arthritis. Anyway, I think I'm right. So back to her. She said, if I had a good day and I worked outside and took advantage of it instead of being in bed all day for 2 weeks, she said, I paid for it. Oh, boy, did I ever pay for it. I would be in bed for 2 weeks suffering with horrible pain just because I had one good day where I got up and I tried to live. And so you got to respect this woman. She just wants to live. Anyway, she was telling me that for lunch, she would take a blender and add coconut milk, not the same as coconut oil, but coconut milk. And to that, she would add dark cherries. Most likely these are frozen, so she when she blends them up, this is probably like a smoothie or a milkshake. I mean, right? She said she did add one small spoonful of raw honey just to give it just a touch of flavor, because the last ingredient or the fourth ingredient that she would add to her smoothie or her lunch was fresh asparagus. She would tell me that she would go to bed at night and take a look at the asparagus or look at the asparagus before bedtime and say, oh, my word, it's only like 2 inches tall. But my morning time, it might be 8 inches tall, which isn't incredible how asparagus grows overnight. But she would add fresh asparagus. We're talking about living. This is living food. Now, that is compatible with health and healing and regeneration. If all you're doing is eating dead food, not going to work. But when you incorporate some living foods into what you're doing, you can expect your health to improve. Now, depending on what your level of health is or the problems you have, it could take a while. I think I had a conversation with a woman recently, and I said, this is probably going to take about 2 years to turn this around. And I realize I'm kind of black and white, so I wasn't trying to like overwhelm her like, oh, great, this is going to take 2 years. But when you have just real severe damage to tissues in the body, it takes a while to rejuvenate them. Anyway, but I asked her, I said, do you like this? She said, oh, my word, yes. She said, when I drink this coconut milk and asparagus and cherry smoothie with a spoonful of honey, she said, I'm completely satisfied. I'm not hungry after that. Now, isn't that great? Because if she were to load up on carbohydrates and grains and sugar, she would be craving so much food, it would create a carbohydrate addiction. But she's completely satisfied. So she's losing weight. The inflammation is going away. Now, there's kind of a novel thought for you. If you have pain and inflammation, what could one person do to help remedy the situation? Well, one of the keys of helping a person move toward getting their strength back and getting well is they've got to see progress, and they've got to be able to see some improvement. Of course, everyone that knows me knows that when you walk in my door, I just assume that you're very, very open-minded. Not everybody's open-minded, but let me ask you a question. Do you consider yourself open-minded? Well, if what you're doing is not working to restore your health, it might serve you very well if you could open your mind, come to the table with a clean spoon, and just consider there might be a different way. Well, this woman I'm talking about with just horrible interstitial cystitis, she's healing. And I am so proud of her and so thankful. She is so easy to work with because she's taking full responsibility for her health, and she's doing something crazy for lunch. She's blending up making a smoothie or a milkshake out of coconut milk, fresh asparagus from her garden, dark frozen cherries, which are like loaded with nutrients also. You could probably build a case that these two things are just superfoods anyway. Anyway, way to go, young lady. I didn't even give out the phone number, and I'm already getting a call.
Hey, you know, what can I tell you? I try to be on top of it.
Oh, you are on top of everything. Name one thing that you haven't been on top of in the last week.
Never mind.
Oh. Anyway, how are you today?
I'm pretty good, but Dad has an issue. Now, he's 95, or will be 95 in August.
Wow.
And has an infection in the bone in the big toe on his right, on his right foot. And we've been messing with this for about 10 weeks. It started out with an ulcerated injury on the big toe. From rubbing, he's got neuropathy, so he never felt it, so that's why it got that far.
Oh, bless his heart. Goodness.
So, and I need you to keep this really simple, because you know I'm really simple.
It's funny you should bring it up. I thought to myself before you even called, I'm probably going to have the most simple man in the world call me as my first caller.
And there you go.
And it happened. Bam. Okay.
What? I heard you talking about, real food and so on and being off of sugar and all. And at 95 years old, he basically does what he wants to do.
Probably.
What we've done, antibiotics, they were talking, the drill.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Antibiotics for 10 weeks and yada, yada, yada. And it's helped to an extent. It's healed the wound, but the tip of the big toe, that's supposed to be rounded, and it's not. It's, the bone is jagged, according to what they say the x-ray looks like.
Oh, but that's kind of how they normally look anyway.
Okay. Well, they're saying that...
Unless it's jagged because an infection's eaten part of the bone, and that's where the jag
that's
is.
That
makes sense.
That's exactly it. So, what can I do...
Well, I'll tell you.
Get rid of this infection.
Well, I will tell you if you.
And he's only going to do just so much because.
No, I know that. That's the only way that I'm going to approach this is I'm going to try to make it user friendly. If this were you, I would take off. I would have a complete different tact because I'd say, this man, even though he's simple, he's got an air of genius about him, and he would like to know what to do to help himself. But with your father. Let me take a whole different course of action, but you've got to promise me you will not repeat this to anyone. Is that okay? It's just going to be between us.
Yeah, you mean about 500,000 of our closest friends.
No. I only have 2-3 listeners tops, I promise. But anyway.
Oh, okay.
All right, here's what I want you to do. And do you happen to have a pencil handy?
I am ready.
All right. This is going to be kind of weird, but here goes. If you were to go on either Amazon.com or eBay.com, you would type in oxygenated oils. And there's gonna be two basic kinds you're going to look for. It's either going to be oxygenated olive oil or oxygenated coconut oil. And I think those are going to be the two mainstays that you're going to be able to find. And so the ones that I find really, really helpful and very intriguing to me are going to be the ones that are going to be almost like a thicker paste because they've been really oxygenated. And just to make a long story short, this is the process goes as follows. Usually there's a device called an oxygen generator, and that's just usually a lot cheaper to purchase and utilize than like an oxygen tank, because you can go through a whole lot of oxygen real quick to make this stuff.
Right.
They run the oxygen through an ozonation device, and they have either a small stone or a stainless steel bulb device that just infuses the oxygen into the oil. And
right.
Over a time, it creates a thick paste. And I realize what I really would wish for your father, that they would have a hyperbaric oxygen chamber that he could insert himself into, and they could just pump up the oxygen saturation to 100% and just apply some pressure. Because really, that's the very thing that would heal his toe right now. Oxygen.
Well, and that was what somebody brought up to me, and I didn't know about that.
No, and even though your friend that brought it up to you is probably a true friend. I'm not saying the name Donna, but anyway.
No, she didn't, actually. No. I haven't talked to her about that.
I find that very unusual. She didn't call you and tell you this.
She might after this.
She's the oxygen queen. That's what I usually call her.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, behind her back, I call her the oxygen queen, not to her face.
There you go.
But if you were to get oxygenated oil, whether it's coconut or olive oil, then if your father decides he wants to apply this to the area, you may be quite surprised at what a great result you see.
Really?
But I'm kind of a crazy person, though. I would probably not apply this once a day or even twice a day. I might go more to the 5 to 10 times a day range. I just keep that oxygen oil directly on there. So if we can't take your father to a hyperbaric oxygen chamber, why don't we bring the oxygen to his big toe? Let's do it. And, you know, it's not expensive either. Now, you may have to buy a larger tub of it, which you may call me back on the phone and say, I thought you said it wasn't expensive. Well, you know. But this is one of the most amazing things that I've personally seen to help those areas to heal. Now, the other thing that I'm a huge fan of, there's an Indian, very famous, but you have probably never heard of him. His name is Geronimo. You ever hear of Geronimo?
Vaguely.
Oh, I'm telling you, that guy was a man. I think Santa Ana's army pursued him, never caught him. I think the U.S., was it the 7th Cavalry or the 11th? I don't remember. That was back when I was a young child, when the cavalry was still chasing him. But he managed to elude those men, so he was really very intelligent. He was a real leader of his men. You know, he was an Apache Indian, if I'm not mistaken. But what they would do is, when one of their, you know, comrades or a member of the tribe, an Indian, when he would get a bad cut that just wouldn't heal on his foot or his leg, who knows, maybe he fell off a cliff or he got it jagged on something sharp or a snake bite, you know what happens, infection sets in. And when you get an infection of the big toe, that is just no... But that's what they would do, is they would use echinacea. And I was reading one time that some of the earliest Indian campsites from the 1600s, that is one of the main things they found, was just residue of the echinacea.
Okay.
You know what echinacea is?
And are we taking it internally?
I think you're going to have a salve.
Okay.
But you can't, here's what I got to convince you of, though. When you put on, when you rub an oxygen-rich oil or a salve, actually, it may almost look like a gelatinous paste. Those are the one, and so, but that's what happens when you add just such. So let's just say the olive oil is going to be the carrier of the oxygen. So when they infuse oxygen or ozone and oxygen into this, it just starts to collect it over time. And depending on how efficiently they do it, it may take a few days for them to make this stuff. But the stuff is just incredible. And when you smell this oxygenated oil, you're going, oh, my word, that stuff smells strong, like heavy, heavy ozone.
Right.
And so that's one thing that Geronimo would do, is they would use echinacea. And so, but you can't do them both at the same time. I'm going to suggest to you there's two or three different ways to do this. Number one, if we could have like a heating pad of some kind just for the feet, I would probably really, really warm his feet. And you already know what I'm after. Same thing you're after. You're trying to greatly increase the amount of circulation and blood flow.
Right. Because he's got neuropathy, so.
Right. And so we know that his blood flow and circulation is just not that hot.
Correct.
And so if he has like a heating pad for, you know, several 30-minute sessions a day, we could increase blood flow. And under those circumstances, you could probably apply the oxygenated oil. Of course, I highly recommend that you check with his doctors first to make sure this is suitable. Don't do it based on my recommendation. Do it on theirs. And so if you apply the oxygenated oil in between those applications, you might try even a salve that's made of beeswax and olive oil that has echinacea. And so the two forms of echinacea, it's echinacea purpurea and then angustifolia, which I'm totally wasting.
In English?
What now? See?
Yeah.
No comprende? But if you will, you would apply that in between the applications of the ozonated olive oil or coconut oil. I think you're going to be able to call and tell me within a week you're seeing a good change that you're very pleased with. And, of course, What should a person do if they see a positive change that encourages them? Continue, right?
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
And so I think these things that I'm telling you are very, very easy because it really didn't require much of your father, does it?
No, I got a feeling that he would probably be able to do the oxygenated oil. I don't know how he would, to see the toes wrapped right now. I don't know why they need to keep it wrapped because the injury is not, you know, the wound is not there, but they keep
well,
wrapped.
Well, is it oozing?
Nursing every day.
Is it oozing at all?
I don't know because I'm not home when the nurses are here.
Have you thought about taking him to work with you?
Yes. But, okay, the echinacea.
Yeah, you can find a salve that's made of echinacea. Sometimes they'll put another herb in it. I have I don't know if you've heard me tell you about my son named Christopher.
Don't think so.
No, he's a very, very good son to me. He's an amazing mm-hmm. young man. He has done incredible things. I'm very proud of him. But when he was young, he pulled this karaoke machine that had like a sharp, hard corner to it on top of his foot. And I'm telling you, it was gushing blood like there's no tomorrow. And I thought, great. Here we've got like a major emergency here. But I happen to have an herb called yarrow. You ever heard of yarrow? Y-A-R-R-O-W. And that was just one thing I had in the cabinet. And I took some yarrow and just dumped on top of it, and the bleeding stopped instantly.
Mm-hmm.
And so yarrow has been historically used for bleeding that won't stop. Sometimes even people will take a little bit of yarrow and they'll make a tea out of it when you've got like a really bad fever that just won't respond to anything else. I mean, you can take all the drugs in the world, it doesn't knock it out, but when you give yarrow, it just brings closure, and there's you know, the body responds. But yarrow sometimes. And so if you get like an echinacea salve that may have some yarrow in it.
Yep.
Since you're from way, way, way up north, I can tell by your northern Texas accent, you would probably call it yarrow.
Okay.
You are from northern Texas, aren't you?
Way northern.
Way.
Way
What's your most favorite food they serve in way north Texas that you just crave and love?
How about Chicago-style deep-dish pizza?
Chicago-style? Is Chicago just slightly north of Dallas?
No, way northern suburb.
Way, okay, all right, good. But I think if you could find, and of course, yeah, that's the pickle that we're in right now. If they keep the foot wrapped, you realize you can't apply oxygenated oil to a wrap.
Exactly.
So how are we going to solve that mystery?
We're going to, I guess, talk to the doctor and say, hey, what are we doing?
That's exactly. Talk to the doctor and
anything
ask.
Anything that we can do that he can take orally?
Well, I tell you what, you asked
like
me.
Like Hawthorne or?
Yes, you can do that. But I'm telling you right now, we've got to see some progress. And if you use the oxygenated oil, you're going to see that wound start to heal and close up.
Well, see, the wound is like almost non-existent.
But you're trying to pull the infection out. That's why I said echinacea and yarrow.
Yeah. Okay, got it. Okay.
Yeah, internally, yes, to answer your question, yes, yes, yes. Probably what I would do is there's a mushroom extract called turkey tail.
Okay.
You'll never guess what this thing looks like as it grows on the side of an oak stump. You'll never guess.
A turkey tail?
Oh my goodness, you figured it out. You're exactly right. It's turkey. It looks just like a turkey's tail. It kind of fans out. I showed a picture of it yesterday, and I said, hey, look at that. It looks like a turkey's tail. So turkey tail is something that will help very generously, sequentially upregulate immune function, which means the immune system is going to function a whole lot better with it. Now, can I give you my sales pitch? Since you broached the topic on what can he take internally, I am a huge fan. When wounds will not heal or infection will not go away, there are two minerals that I have to consider. I think about them all the time. As a matter of fact, I think I woke up at 5 o'clock this morning. I just thought to myself, there's got to be somebody that needs zinc or iodine, and I'm going to do whatever I can to help him. And so, if your father would consider taking zinc internally, here's my hard pitch to you today. Zinc is the cornerstone of the human being's immune system. It is.
Got it.
I know this is a great oversimplification, but
that's
everything, everything that he wants to accomplish with the infection, he's going to have zinc and probably iodine to get the job done. So if your father can start taking zinc, I would suggest only with food. It can be a little bit irritating at times if you take it on an empty stomach. Even I've been known to take a large handful of zinc just to experiment to see what would happen. But
okay.
if there's food in there, I've never had a glitch. But I've had many women tell me if they take zinc on an empty stomach, they just don't like feeling queasy and nauseated like they're about to throw up. It's just a bit much. So
what are we talking about as far as, I mean, will zinc and iodine come together in the same bottle? Or?
Probably not. I mean, they'll probably be separate entities. It's just a question of the source and where it comes from.
What are we talking about as far as milligrams a day? How many?
Well, can we just suggest that your father's 95? He's got an infection in the toe, in the bone, that's just not resolving, right?
Correct.
I'm going to say, I'm going to tell you what I would do. I'm not telling him what to do, and this is not meant to instruct you on what to do, but I'd probably take somewhere between, for a couple, 3 weeks, probably 60 to maybe 100 milligrams a day. And you realize what I'm saying here.
Right.
I'm not saying this is a forever type deal. No, no, no. I'm just talking about for a short season. So what I want you to consider is, most likely when a person doesn't want to do a whole lot to take care of themselves and they crave carbohydrates, that's probably a classic zinc deficiency. He's got to be low in zinc. There's just no other way.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I feel pretty confident.
I'm sure he is, because he doesn't do a lot of vitamins or minerals.
And so if we had something to, he could take echinacea internally. He could take turkey tail, zinc, and iodine. And maybe that's something that if you the thing of it is not hard at all to find information about this. The other day I was reading about children in an orphanage in India that had dysentery.
Right.
Let's just say that's projectile diarrhea from hell.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't use antibiotics. Isn't that amazing? They didn't use Imodium AD. They didn't use any drugs at all. Guess what they used? They just gave them zinc.
Thanks.
And guess what happened? It just magically, the dysentery and the severe diarrhea just sort of resolved on its own really, really quick. So you never underestimate what happens when you give the body the very thing that it needs. It will heal. Which is
excellent.
Which, you know, I kind of almost have goosebumps on my arm right now thinking about God's creation. Has that ever happened to you?
Sometimes.
You just have this thought and you think, oh my, this is so wonderfully designed.
Mm-hmm.
That's one of the reasons why I like to recommend fish to people, because fish is very easy to digest. Hey, I've got it. We will take your dad to Red Lobster.
There you go. He likes that.
How about if you pay for the meal?
Oh, he'd like that even better, trust me.
Oh, my. I think we figured out a plan. You pay for it, you take him, and he eats it.
How about you meet us there, and then we'll put it on your credit card?
Hey, what time will you be there? I'll be right there.
There you go.
Would you believe me if I
told
you?
We'll see you tomorrow after church.
Would you believe me if I told you I don't even own a credit card?
Yeah.
Okay. I don't. It's true.
That wouldn't surprise me. I know you that well. Okay. Can we shift gears for a second?
Of course.
And come over to me.
Oh, I knew this was going to be all about you. Okay.
It's all about me. The sciatica basically has gone away, but I've noticed a little bit in the calf, where the right calf, not calf, shin area. There's a little, I don't even know how to explain it, just a little funny feeling starting up again. Now, I bought one of those inversion tables.
Do you like them?
I do. I do. What do you think of it?
I think they're great.
What do you think of that?
About the only time that people can't use those is when they have, like, horrible sinus problems.
Right.
And that would make sense. Or if they had really, really bad, you know, blood pressure problems, heart issues. But other than that, you're good to go, but you like it.
I do. About how long per day?
When you do it, do you just hang for like 3 to 5 minutes maybe?
I do. Yeah, I do about 3 to 6 minutes, and I'm right now at about a 45 degree.
Oh, that's awesome. No, you're good to go. You're fine.
Okay.
I did read an article the other day about that. It said only people that had genius-level IQs and were extremely athletic and funny and smart could really successfully use that device. I don't know what their logic was, but that's what it said.
You must be just a very wise man.
Well, I'm just repeating what I've read. I'm just repeating what I've read. That's all I'm doing.
So
I think it's brilliant.
That should help pull everything back into...
Well, you know, the thing of it is, this is something that you can do in your own home.
Yes.
And does this, for your lifestyle and everything that you're involved in, doesn't this make greater sense that this would be something you could do if you had an inversion table? And you do.
Yeah.
You don't have to drive 30 minutes to a clinic to do this. Okay. I love it, though.
No, it's in a extra room that we have. What about stem cell therapy?
For what?
Same thing. Same issue. Sciatic issue.
It's
highly expensive.
Yeah, you're right about that. I just
and there's somebody not real far from you that does it.
Well, here's what I'm gonna write, and he's a very, very nice man. I like him very much.
He is.
Oh, I don't know what to say about that. Here's what I want to tell you though, if you'll let me go off on my own little tangent here. Stem cells, these are the highly specialized cells within your body that grow new tissue for you. So if you have like a damaged nerve or a damaged bone or cartilage or muscle or brain, then you want your stem cells rising to the occasion and growing brand new tissue that's very healthy and vital and vibrant, right?
Right.
Well, this has been a couple of years, but, you know, I kind of get on my tangents where I like a topic and I just keep, you know, digging through it and pulverizing everything I can read. And some of it is just flat out not even helpful. But ever so often I'll come across a gem. And there was this interesting study, and it says, what causes the greatest activation of stem cells in the body? And so that kind of piqued my interest.
Sure.
And I won't go through all of it just because, you know, it's probably a waste of time. But the one thing that stood out, there was a study where they took men and women, and I do not remember the age, so don't hold me to that. But they said, what would happen if we gave them 1 cup of blueberries a day?
Hmm.
It was the most incredible activation of these stem cells.
That would be with sugar, right?
How dare you bring that topic up? You are pushing the limit. Now, if you had said with whipping cream, I'd say fine.
Or honey.
That, well, you mean they're not, are they not sweet enough on their own?
Oh, I'm just being, being me.
Thank you for confessing that one. That's your only character flaw, right?
Okay.
I have like 30 or 40.
Like I said, we'll work with that.
but when people ate a cup of blueberries a day, and I think it was just a 30-day trial, so that may not sound impressive, but it caused the greatest activation of the stem cells. And I thought to myself,
really?
Oh, my goodness. So we could do stem cells.
Cool.
Stem cells are going to be activated by blueberries. Now, the other thing that's been shown to activate stem cells, ultraviolet light does. And so, for example, they have... do you have a pencil handy?
I'm still got my pen and paper going.
I was reading this week, but I don't remember all of it. So I must have been scanning it real fast. But they were showing that if you were to go on eBay and type in DLP light therapy, I think I saw one for like $85. But what you do is you put that over an area of severe pain that won't heal. But this invisible spectrum or this LED spectrum of infrared light will penetrate that area where you have pain. But I've seen them work wonders. And
wow.
So what they're really doing is since you said sciatic nerve, that is a nerve that exits your lower back, and it travels through the rear bottom area through a muscle called the piriformis.
Mm-hmm.
Most likely that's an area that doesn't really see the sunshine or these invisible wavelengths of light. Am I correct on that?
That would be correct.
Okay, yes. Just wasn't sure. I just thought I'd ask.
That would be correct.
But this DLP light device, if you put it over that area, you could leave it on there for 30 minutes, but if all of a sudden you have healing. But then again, that would be another thing that I might use that oxygen oil for, just to stimulate healing. And really, I know I sound like a broken record, but if you just really made me nail down to the nitty gritty, I'd say oxygen may actually be the greatest healing element in the universe. And of course, you know, what would happen if a person didn't have oxygen? Well, it wouldn't go well. But when you start getting a person optimal,
might be your worst day.
It could be your worst day. When's the last time that a woman has held your head underwater in Lake Palestine?
Fortunately, never.
Oh, well, there was a little delay in your response, so I thought you were thinking of a story when Donna was holding your head underwater.
Yeah, exactly.
So,
no, she's too sweet. She wouldn't do that.
But that's one of the things that you might look at to help healing take place, and that would be very, very cheap.
There you
well,
go.
When I say cheap, you see how good I am at spending your money?
Yeah, I like that.
But at least I'm giving you ideas that are very safe and non-toxic. But this is used on knees all the time. People have horrible knees. Very good. It's a very interesting device.
Okay. I've got it written down. I'll have to look into
it. It's either DLP, light therapy, or DPL. I'm trying to think.
Okay.
David loves Paul? No, that doesn't make sense. Okay. David, Larry, Peter. Never mind. Something like that.
Okay.
Okay.
Cool.
Thank you very much for your phone call.
Thank you. I appreciate
it. Tell your dad I said hello. And as soon as I get that credit card, we will be going to Red Lobster, and you can just invite everybody to church. It's on me.
There you go. Hey, I've already got the form filled out. I just need your signature.
Okay, good. Do you need the credit card number? Hey, thanks.
Well, that's to get the credit card.
Oh, yes. Okay, good.
Hey, thank you. You're
welcome.
Great.
Take care, buddy. Okay. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Actually, I have a lot of respect for a man that wants to take really good care of his father. Now, I am a good judge of age and voices, so if his father's 95 and I just heard his voice, he's probably 32 or 3 tops, I'm guessing. Good morning. Welcome to the program. How are you?
Good morning, Dr. Morgan. How are you?
Oh, I'm so good. Thanks.
Wonderful. My primary care physician wants me to get off of bioidentical hormones, and I'm wondering, doesn't my body still need those hormones even though I'm 71 years old?
Potentially, yes, and there's lots of reasons why. For example, what if a woman had a hysterectomy where they removed the uterus and the ovaries?
Mm-hmm.
Well, then your source of hormone production is, you know, essentially gone.
Well, I've never had a hysterectomy. I have all my organs.
Okay.
But
what would you say is the main reason why you've been given bioidentical hormones?
Well, when they tested me, my estrogen level was almost nothing, and I was having, like, mood swings, night sweats, you know, all the basic stuff that you have when you go through menopause.
Well, that doesn't sound like fun.
No, it's not fun. So she says at 65, she normally tries to get her patients off of hormone therapy.
Did she give you more precise reasoning, though?
No, she didn't.
Well, can I play the devil's advocate just for a second?
Yes.
Okay. I don't even think that as good as I am, that's really just a joke. I can't just look at a human being like a woman at 71 and say, oh, her estrogen level is exactly 2.5 and her progesterone is exactly 25. I can't do that. And I can't tell you what your testosterone levels would be. But hormones, they play an incredible role in how your cells work properly. And so, for example, if a woman had literally non-existent estrogen, it may be really hard to keep your body hydrated and to keep the female reproductive area hydrated, so everything would begin to dry out and thin. And that could be kind of painful, and that would be not fun. And if there was a severe hormone fluctuation, she could have like horrible hot flashes and mood swings, which, what I'm about to say, this is not meant to be a joke or to take a jab at anybody, but when the British surgeon coined the term hysterectomy, the term hysterectomy makes you think, okay, this is something that removes, you know, a woman from hysteria or from being hysterical, you know, like mood swings, severe ones. And I think that stuck because hormones play a role in all that stuff. I said, but how does the doctor even know what your levels are? Now, right now, we have the technology. Well, there's other ways of figuring this out, but for the sake of the average physician, if they do not measure your output of hormones, there's no way they're going to know what it is. And so if you're very deficient, that means you're going to be at risk for having problems like dementia or Alzheimer's, osteoporosis, osteopenia, heart disease, even cancer. But if I played the other end of it, what if these hormone levels came back and they were just off the charts high? Then I would say, well, your doctor had this gut instinct or had this hunch that maybe you were on too much, which that is a possibility, right?
Right.
And so if they just measure your hormone levels, that would be the easiest way probably to sort through this, because they can find out, is she Goldilocks just right, meaning is she in the optimal range, or does she have too little or too much? And so I think that we're living in an age where that's very easy to access if you want to. I think it's good to do that stuff personally with hormones.
Well, she didn't order me to have any tests run, so how is she going to know?
She's not. And that's probably the easiest way where you can just have a very gentle conversation with her is, what do you think about testing hormone levels so you'll know and so I'll know? I would like that very much, please. And there's even a lot of online companies where you could look online hormone testing. And you can be tested in your own home and mail it to the laboratory, and they can send a report back to you, and you can give that to the doctor, or they could read it for themselves. But that's one of the ways, that's one of the options you have right now to find out if you actually need those. And now let me say this. You know, you're very familiar with your life and what you've been through, right? Would you say that your life has been very, very good, or have you been like the rest of us? You've had good periods, but you've had challenges.
Oh, yeah, I've had good and bad.
But that's just life, isn't it?
Yes.
Do you know anybody that doesn't have a crisis at some point?
No.
Neither do I. Everybody does. It's around every corner almost, isn't it?
Yes.
And so you can put significant stress on your ovaries and on the adrenal glands and on your thyroid. And, you know, after 50 years of stress, sometimes they just don't work as efficiently. So sometimes bioidentical hormones, they do a great service and they help give your body a rest. And there's lots of times that they're the most appropriate therapy of all time.
Okay. I heard you talking about Ovatrofen the other day. Would that be something that I could consider instead of bioidentical hormones, or should I stay on them?
Well, let me say it this way. And, you know, the whole time I was talking to you about the hormones, I'm thinking food, 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 because that's just my idea. What happens when you feed the ovaries the very substance that they like? And, of course, you know that gentleman that I talked to on the phone earlier that's, I don't really know his name, but he sounds extremely intelligent and bright. I mean, he called the program. That means he's a genius, probably. But when I mentioned that his father might need zinc, that's let me just play this two different ways. What if you did not have enough progesterone? Because even though you've gone, most likely you're in menopause right now, correct?
No, I've already been through that.
Well, yeah, but when did you stop cycling? Were you like 54 years old?
Yes.
Don't tell me you were 70. I'm going to call you Sarah, and your husband's name is Abraham.
I'm going to say I was like 49.
Okay, but that was the age that you no longer were pumping out enough hormones to produce fertility and grow a baby, right?
Right.
Okay. So you're 71 now, and so you might have gone through menopause about 5 years earlier than average, which probably means you had just a little stress in your life, maybe a little. Maybe I'm making that up. If I am, please forgive me. But you're supposed to be 10 parts progesterone and 1 part estrogen, even right now. That's the balanced ratio. And if you did a hormone test, we could find out, oh, you mean I'm not 10 parts, but you've got to have zinc to manufacture progesterone, even if you've gone through menopause.
Okay, I take zinc every day.
I think you're smart. And so the Ovitrofen PMG, this is just an ovary extract that comes from a calf's ovaries.
Mm-hmm.
I know that doesn't sound delicious, but it has been, for me, it has been a game changer for some of the women that I would take care of. And so let me give you an example from this week.
Okay.
I had a young couple come to see me, and they're telling me they've been married for a season, and they're not taking any steps at all to prevent, you know, pregnancy or fertility. They're not.
Mm-hmm.
But they can't become pregnant, and she wants to have a baby. Well, I've done everything I can to examine her thoroughly, but the consistent theme that keeps coming back up when I examine her, and, you know, sometimes I'll go over it four or five times just to double check and make sure, but when I examine her, it always comes up that her ovaries are weaker than what they should be. And so doing my version of the examination, it always proves and bears out that she needs to feed the ovaries. And so, like in her case, I used an herb called chaste tree. The mineral zinc is going to be like at the crux of what I think she needs. I think I tried to give her a strong sales pitch toward adding some cinnamon to like a cup of coffee if she's going to have... I think what I did was I tried to talk her into one cup of coffee a day instead of 4 million cups of coffee. That's just a joke. Nobody drinks 4 million, but when you start getting above 4 cups of coffee, you're thinking, dude, do you actually drink any water?
Yeah,
did you drink something other than coffee? But, you know, I'm just teasing about that. So she's really tried to back off that, and she's proven to be very disciplined. And so she started really getting with the exercise. But, I mean, her and her husband are just beautiful human beings. I just love them. I'm crazy about them. But that's one of the things that I'm telling her. We need to feed the ovaries. And she seems to be very... I mean, when I examine somebody, I do my very best to take every person that's highly skeptical and get them to the point where they go, I completely understand. Now I'm willing to do this. I'll do this to take care of myself. Because, you know... When I say we've got to make a change, you know what I really mean. It's you that have got to make a change. You got to take care of it. But, yeah, Ovitrofen PMG is one of the things that I think of. But usually when a woman is 71, my mind probably goes more toward, I would say, you know what the herbs are, don't you? These are just plants that God has made. But there's some herbs that tend to be very, very good at helping... you know, promote feminine vitality. And of course, I'm already convincing myself to discuss a different topic. Now, can I just ask you a question? I don't expect you to answer correctly, but there is one gland in the body. It's right there at the base of the brain. It is the master control gland over all your hormones. It's been forgotten. Nobody talks about it, maybe except me. But it's a gland that constantly measures your hormone levels. And so, if you make testosterone or DHEA or cortisol or adrenaline, and you do, and all the 23 different forms of estrogen like estriol and estrone and estradiol, this gland, it's constantly monitoring those. And if your hormones aren't right, it's in charge of telling your body, hey, get with it and make what we need. But that gland, do you know what it's called, by the way? Begins with an H.
Yes, have hypothalamus.
Yes, that's it. Oh, my goodness. I risked everything to see if you were paying attention, and you are. But that's great. It's the hypothalamus. And so there's many women that come to see me. If they tell me their two dominant issues are hot flashes and mood swings.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, maybe the term mood swing doesn't really do justice. Let's just say... maybe a woman, she doesn't like the way that her emotions are being expressed. How about that?
Mm-hmm.
Then I start thinking hypothalamus, because what usually happens, and I try to warn everybody, that, and even a woman told me yesterday, she said, you are really spot on, and that because when you start healing and repairing the hypothalamus, that is one of the most interesting healing phenomena that I experience, or, you know, I believe when women and men tell me this. Sometimes they'll just start crying for 2 or 3 days, or they'll start laughing at everything, or they'll feel like that they're, you know, they just want to be weepy and cry, or they get a little fit of anger. And that's what the mother told me this week with one of her children that I used some hypothalamus with. They said, oh my goodness, we just had to all remind ourselves it was just the hypothalamus pills. It's not the child. It's just not their fault. But, yeah, they can kind of act out a little bit. But so the hypothalamus is in charge of all this stuff, and that's completely overlooked. I don't think in the 30 years that I've done this, actually, that was sort of not true. Since I received my license, how about 29 and a half years? I just rounded up to 30 years. Is that okay?
That's okay.
But the hypothalamus is completely overlooked. And when these things come up, I start thinking, what can we do to restore the hypothalamus? Well, there's one lesson I have learned the hard way. The hypothalamus can be horribly poisoned and damaged by artificial sweeteners. So if you talk about aspartame, mm-hmm. sweet and low, saccharin, but the big one is Splenda. Oh, my word. If you know of a person that's consuming Splenda and they are just a bear to deal with emotionally, oh, my word, I think I know what's going on. I think that their hypothalamus is being poisoned. And so I didn't answer your question. I mean, it depends on what the examination findings would be.
Okay.
But I love your story, but you would have nothing to lose by trying it. There's a product that's sold by Standard Process called Femco, FEMCO. Mm-hmm. And I would say 80% of the time when there's a hormone issue, I like using that. And like I told you earlier, I tried to give a sales pitch. I got distracted, sorry, about adding cinnamon to coffee. Or if you had like a sweet potato in front of you and it sounds like a good idea to sprinkle cinnamon on top of it. Because cinnamon has this unique ability of increasing blood flow and circulation of the ovaries. And I just think that's so, so valuable. But then again, what would a diabetic use to lower their need for insulin or pills? Cinnamon.
That's a good deal.
So if they just had like a little dash of cinnamon to a cup of coffee or a cup of herbal tea. I mean, cinnamon doesn't exactly stir into coffee or tea like something else would, like cream does. But it gives it a good flavor.
It really does.
And I've had many people tell me that when they go to the store and just buy cinnamon capsules, that greatly helps their blood sugar. You know what I do? I choose to believe them. I believe them.
Oh, yeah.
If somebody walked in my door and they said, I am in desperate shape here. My blood sugar is 296. The doctor is going bonkers over me taking metformin and Januvia and insulin, all these drugs. He says there's no way I can lower it. And I usually tell him, man, if you give me 2 weeks, we can cut that in half easy by using cinnamon and Gymnema. Of course, a person has to do their job. People are just overdosed on carbohydrates. Would you agree with that?
Yes.
You know what my whole program was going to be about today? I was going to talk about the research on blueberries and strawberries and raspberries and blackberries. I never got to it.
Yummy.
But these
never
things,
got to it.
No, but you know, there's research showing that blueberries and strawberries and raspberries and blackberries, these all help hormone levels, and they all help improve inflammation of the brain. And so that's my whole plot, is to help improve you and to bless you and help you. So there's lots of things you can do, and I think some of it's going to be trial and error. But if you can help your body produce its own hormones naturally, you're in a good place. So let me tell you one last thing. I know you've heard before the term probiotic, haven't you?
Yes.
And so when you hear the term probiotic, you think to yourself, oh, well, that makes sense. A person's taking a probiotic because they're trying to help their digestive tract. Well, it's not the only thing that it helps. There was a study done years ago where they took women that had hormone levels that were way too high. And they know that because they did the very thing that you're requesting. Can we just measure hormone levels? And then they had another group of women. They were Goldilocks just right, which means their hormones were just right there in the middle in that optimal range, you know, perfect. And they had a third group of women, and guess what? Theirs were way too low, which is maybe what you're coming to me this morning about. And they said, what are we going to do about this? And some researcher had a genius plan. He said, why don't we just give these women fiber? And they gave them fiber in the form of flaxseed. I want to say there was a little bit of psyllium husk in there. And there may have been apple pectin. But then again, you know as well as I do that if you eat a Fuji or a Gala apple, they are crunchy and delicious, and they taste great. But that's fiber.
Mm-hmm.
Guess what happened when they gave women extra fiber when their hormone levels were too high?
It lowered them.
Yeah. And guess where it brought them down to? It brought them down to a normal range. Now you're probably thinking this is not going to be true, but guess what happened to women that hormone levels were way too low when they gave them fiber?
It brought it back up.
It brought it back up.
And that's crazy.
Yes, it is crazy, but there's no drug that does that. There's only a drug for hormones too low or too high. So if a woman had too high of hormones that were promoting breast cancer, the doctor would say, I've got a plan for you. We're going to give you a drug called tamoxifen to change all that. Well, problem is it causes a lot of other problems, even like cervical and uterine cancer. But anyway, so that's my sales pitch today for you. Anytime that you eat real food that God himself has designed and made on a level that I couldn't even begin to understand, I just literally shiver and shake sometimes thinking about his creation. It's just so awesome. But does that show you how much God loves us? He's given us all these good things. So if you eat a whole foods diet and you eat cleanly, I would highly recommend that you eat blueberries and strawberries and raspberries and blackberries.
I keep blueberries in the fridge all the time and eat them for snacks.
Oh, I love you. You're awesome. You know what happened to me the other day?
Mm-mm.
I was walking through the tall grass. Do you know what a snake...
Yeah, I've been doing that, too. That's fun.
Do you know what a snake called a coach whip is?
No, I don't.
You mean you have never seen a coach whip?
Well, I probably have. I just didn't know what it was.
Sometimes they're called like a blue racer or a black racer.
Oh, I was going to say, I've seen some black snakes back there.
Well, was it fast?
Yes.
This one was so fast, he never was on the ground. It was like he was walking on water. He went right across the top of the grass, and I had never seen that before, and I thought, good night, is that sucker fast. But he was about 10 feet in front of me, and he wasn't interested in me, thank goodness, because I don't think that I can outrun a black racer or a coach whip. But anyway, I've seen, when I was a boy, I was driving across a dam, and it was right at dusk, and I saw this rat running for his life across the road. Guess what was hot on his tail? A coach
whip.
Goodness. But I think the rat probably met his demise because those blue racers are so fast, at least for a short burst. So anyway, looking at all these dewberries, I know they're not true blackberries or raspberries, but these dewberries, they look like blackberries. And they are everywhere. If you tell me, they're not ready yet. I'll let you know when they're ready. I'll go out and I'll check again today because I like walking along those fence rows and ditches. Of course, me, I'm just going to wear sandals and shorts. I don't care about the coach whips. Actually, I do. I don't want one coming after me. Hey, if you went with me, all I have to do is outrun you.
That's right.
No, but consider these things because I think if you go back to the doctor and say, I just love the idea of having my hormones tested and just kind of present it that way. What do you think, doctor?
Yeah, I will. I think the reason she's doing it is because, you know, they're all about breast cancer.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why when women reduce their intake of Premarin, which is a kind of a man-made pharmaceutical hormone, if you break down the word Premarin, you get pregnant Mary urine in there because that's where it comes from.
My granddaughter told me that the other day. It made me sick.
Oh, well, maybe I've given you too much to think about, but if you will, when you reduce Premarin, breast cancer rates go down hugely.
Mm-hmm.
So you know it's possible to overdo the hormones. So from your doctor's perspective, I highly respect what she's saying because that's probably her thought. But, you know, she's just like the rest of us. Sometimes, you know, you need to kind of think through things, and I just tend to be very curious and very open-minded, so when somebody tells me they're curious about something, I'm going, well, maybe we should check that. But there is a time and a place to measure one's hormone levels to find out where they are. And it may be that on the bioidentical hormones, you might be Goldilocks just right.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that.
Okay.
But
well,
thank you for your phone call.
I wouldn't mind being off of them. They're kind of expensive.
Right. Well, I'm officially out of time, so call me back again, and we'll figure this out, all right?
Have a wonderful day.
Oh, you too. Thank you so much.
Thank
Have a
you.
Good day, ma'am. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.